Last week we began a little study in the book of Deuteronomy, and we talked about the fact that Deuteronomy, the word meaning second law, is the law of God or the word of God given to the people as the people, Israel, are on the plains of Moab about to cross the Jordan River into Palestine proper. And Moses is rehearsing once again for the people this word of God, this law of God. In chapters 1 through 4 in Deuteronomy, we have a presentation or rehearsing of what God has done for the people in bringing them to this place. In the 5th chapter, we have the Ten Commandments rehearsed for us. And in chapter 6, we have a summary of the law of God given in verses 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Here's the summary of it all. And we talked about the fact that at base, the book of Deuteronomy is a covenant document, and it is set forth as a covenant document. We are in covenant with God, and the centerpiece of our responsibilities before God in this covenant are given in chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. Particularly verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. But we know that we cannot just utter those words and those words be on our lips without our hearts being full of the love of God. And so when we finished up last week, we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 30. And if you turn there with me to Deuteronomy 30, verse 6, we saw that Moses and God is not just concerned with outward performance, but God himself is concerned with the heart and the inclination of the heart. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 6 says, moreover, the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your descendants to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, so that you may live. It is a new inclination of heart born of God that brings us to truly love God with all of our heart. And when we look at Deuteronomy chapter 5 and the Ten Commandments, what the Ten Commandments really do is stipulate for us how that love can be expressed. And so what we're talking about this morning is a debt we owe to God in expressing the love that Deuteronomy talks about and how that love is to be expressed. And so I'm laying before you at the outset this statement: our debt to God for his love of us is to return that love by purposely, deliberately, spiritually loving our neighbor. And Romans chapter 13, which quotes Deuteronomy chapter 5, is the outline we're going to use to get into all of this. But what we should understand is that there is a deep connection here between what God says in Deuteronomy and what not only our Lord gives us in the New Testament, but what Paul is telling us in Romans chapter 13. So let's turn back now to Romans chapter 13, and we're going to be going back to what Deuteronomy says. But in Romans chapter 13, Paul the apostle tells us, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Then he quotes, for this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. We see, first of all, in this text that we are indebted to God, and I think that's the essence of what Paul says. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. We are indebted to God. He condescends to covenant with us, and in that relationship, we not only have great privileges, but we have responsibilities. We love, as John says in 1 John, because he first loved us. And it seems to me we need to understand that this is the case. Romans chapter 13 and verse 8, we owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, doesn't mean, I think, that we're not to have any kind of debt at all. We're not to have any debts as far as finances are concerned, because we see quite the contrary in the Old Testament in many cases where debts were incurred. Rather, the emphasis in the text is simply this, that love is a debt that we owe. Now, those of us who are married would understand that this is the case, that in the marriage relationship, which is another covenant relationship, we take vows and promise love and affection for our spouse. And it is a debt we owe in that circumstance. And we need to realize this is the case, because God has brought us into a relationship with himself and has loved us with a great love through Jesus Christ. We have a debt, and it is to respond by loving God and loving one another. Keep your finger there in Deuteronomy or in Romans, and go back to Deuteronomy. And the beginning of the Ten Commandments in verse 6, which says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. This is known as the preface to the Ten Commandments. And what does the preface to the Ten Commandments teach us? Well, the Westminster Shorter Catechism says that the preface to the Ten Commandments, which is in verse 6, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, teaches us that the Lord is God and our Redeemer, and therefore we are bound to keep all of his commandments. See, there it is again. That obligation we have before God, that duty we have before God, because of the relationship we are in with him. Okay, back to Romans 13 then. Going on in the text. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, for he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. Sometimes here we get the idea that what Paul is saying is love supplants the law. You no longer need the Ten Commandments because you have love. And as long as you have love, you fulfill what the law requires. So love. Don't worry about the law. Just love. But this is not what Paul is getting at. Paul actually connects love and the commandments. Let's look at it again. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. For he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And Paul quotes from the Ten Commandments. And he connects this idea of love immediately with these commandments. Not only does Paul connect the idea of love with the Ten Commandments, but he connects the idea of love with the Ten Commandments as given to us in Deuteronomy. Do you notice something about verse 9? For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, You shall not steal. You shall not covet. You notice anything peculiar there? Well, the peculiar thing is that what we would normally consider the seventh commandment comes before what we would normally consider the sixth commandment. In other words, if you read Exodus chapter 20, where the Ten Commandments are given, the order is slightly different. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. And the order that Paul uses in Romans 13:9 comes from Deuteronomy in the Greek Old Testament. And so it is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 5. A very specific quote from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And the order of the commandments betrays this is the case. Well, what are we to make of this? Let's go back to Deuteronomy. And this time to chapter 6. After the rehearsing of the Ten Commandments in chapter 5, here is what Moses says in chapter 6. Now this is the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you are going to possess it. In other words, these commandments I taught you. And in the land, you're to do them. Verse 2 in Deuteronomy 6. So that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear my commandments, God is saying through Moses, and perform them. Teach them to your children and to your grandchildren, and your life will be long in the land that I give you. I can't help but think of all the news reports continuing on the sad situation that arose in Littleton, Colorado, and how some representatives have said to Congress, you know, part of the problem is in our culture and our society. Part of the problem is that we've taken the Ten Commandments out of the picture, and we haven't taught them to our children and to our grandchildren. And other representatives are poo-pooing that and laughing and saying, oh, you don't know what you're talking about. And there's a struggle over this very issue. And what does God say to Moses? O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do it, that it may be well with you. And that's a message we need to hear. And then what does Moses go on to say in verses 4 and 5 in Deuteronomy 6? Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And Moses connects those commandments with the idea of loving God. And Moses is saying, you know how you are to show your love for God? It's by, from the heart, doing these commandments and stipulations which God has given to us. And they're not a law that has been laid upon our backs. But these commandments and statutes are an opportunity for us to display to God and to a watching world that we love Him. And I think that's exactly what Paul is saying in Romans. Please turn back to Romans 13 again, if you would. Verse 9 in Romans 13, "For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." You see, what Paul is saying is that if you sum up the commandments, if you add them up, and that's what the word means in verse 9, if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this. If you add them up, just like you were doing arithmetic, at the bottom, the sum is love. That's what Paul's telling us. So you take all of those commandments and you wrap them together and you perform them from the heart, and what you have is this sometimes elusive, nebulous idea of love, which turns out to be rather concrete, rather straightforward. And we'll see that, I think, more clearly in a moment. Verse 9 again. "For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." In other words, if you take that section of the Ten Commandments that Paul quotes from the book of Deuteronomy, what you have is love for your neighbor. Love for the other person. And so this is why I'm saying in the third point, if you add up the Ten Commandments, you therefore have the greatest commandments. Love God and love your neighbor. And it seems to me that that's pretty straightforward. And not only so, Paul adds this in verse 10. "Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." We can translate verse 10 this way. Love to a neighbor works no evil. Love to a neighbor works no evil. It's in the negative, isn't it? As are the majority of the Ten Commandments. And part of what we have to face with there is our tendency to go contrary to the Word of God in these matters. And so the negative stands, reminding us of our own sinfulness, reminding us of our need of Jesus Christ, reminding us of our need of the grace of God and of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts to enable us to love God and to love our neighbor and to follow the commandments. And so again, verse 10 says, "Love to a neighbor works no evil," that is, does nothing that is contrary to the commandments of God. Doing that which is contrary to the commandments of God is evil. That's a message that many need to get today. And if we have the love of God poured out in our hearts, we will not work evil. We will not. And so, love is the fulfillment of the law, B, Because if our hearts are filled with the love of God, we will follow the precepts of the law, of the Ten Commandments. This is what Paul is telling us. And this is what Moses tells us. So, I'm saying finally, dear friends, by the grace of God, if this is indeed the case, what we read in Romans, owe nothing to anyone except to love one another, then by the grace of God, pay the debt you owe. How many of you would say forthrightly, if you have a debt, it is your responsibility to pay it, right? Okay. Here's the debt. Love. And we are obligated by the grace of God to pay that debt. Let's go back to Deuteronomy again, and this time chapter 5, and just briefly look at the full compass of this debt we owe in Deuteronomy chapter 5. Beginning with verse 6 once again, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. As you stand before God, and He has a full view of your life and my life, it is our duty to give all allegiance to Him. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not make for yourself an idol, and you shall not worship that idol. Calvin says that we are idol factories, and we are continually manufacturing for ourselves various things to worship. And so true it is, especially in this life of ours, which is so filled with materialism. The things we want and the things that we ought, we think, to have that are owed to us. I'm very struck by Dr. Richard Holdeman, who was with us for the high school baccalaureate service, and part of his testimony was that going to the national championship for ice hockey in college, NCAA competition, he said, God doesn't owe me a national championship. It'd be very nice, but God doesn't owe me that. And it was a privilege just to be there. And I thought to myself, what a good perspective to have. You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself an idol. And the third commandment, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. Properly utilizing God's name in all circumstances, and most fully calling on the name of the Lord, calling on Him, and properly using His name to approach Him. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, or your male servant or your female servant, or your ox or your donkey, or any of your cattle, or your sojourner who stays with you, so that your male and female servant may rest as well as you. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. And here we are before God. And we ought to take time out to worship Him. And we ought to take 1 day in 7 to come before Him and in a special way serve Him. By the grace of God, pay the debt you owe to God. And then by the grace of God, pay your debt you owe to your neighbor. And the commandments are clear, aren't they? You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, you shall not covet. In other words, preserve life to the best of your ability in your own family and in the families of others. Preserve the sanctity of marriage. Preserve the sanctity of property. Preserve the sanctity of truth. And always be satisfied with the condition God has given you in this life. That's part of the debt we owe. You owe, and I owe. And I would add this, dear friends, that if you want to be like Jesus, this is the very direction you ought to go. How did Jesus Christ live? He kept the whole law perfectly. Did he live a life of love? We would say he epitomized it. And we should follow him. We should follow in his footsteps. By the grace of God, loving God and loving our neighbor, and showing that by following the commandments that God has given us, and thus fulfilling the law through love. I pray that God will give us the grace to do it, and so to live. May it be so. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word, and thank you that there are great lessons in your word for us. We pray together that we might learn to love you. The disciples of old prayed or asked Jesus, teach us to pray. Father, we would ask you now, teach us to love as we should, as outlined in Scripture. Grant us that grace, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.